Okay, so this session is about dividing soul and spirit, looking at joints and marrow, and the attitudes of our hearts. So this session normally would be at least half a day. So we're going to do this in an hour. Okay, so I'm going to whiz through some of the slides and whatever else and just go through some stuff and then allow some time at the end for activation as well. So dividing soul and spirit. I just want to start with a Bible verse, which is where we get this from. So for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So that's where we're starting from. Okay. So Lindy was talking this morning about the whole fact that we are spirit and we have a soul and we live in a body. Okay. And our soul is the part of us that would be jumping up and down if there was anything wrong and we got a bit angry. So for example, if I said something to you and you had a reaction to it, okay, as opposed to responding, okay, that might mean that it is coming from a place of your soul, okay, because your soul is saying this isn't fair or this isn't right, and you're coming from your place of yourself as opposed from a godly place, okay. So we've been programmed from a young age to focus on our soul, okay. So as this morning, these are the kind of questions, okay. That's what we do. We meet somebody, how are you? You know, how are you feeling? Is everything okay? What do you want to do? Where do you want to go? All of those things, okay? So, how does the Bible describe this state? In Romans 8, chapter 5, verse 5, it says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Okay. So I just want to tell you a brief story about my own journey in dividing soul and spirit, because it does sound a little bit harsh, even if it is in the Bible. So last year, I'm not going to go into any details, but last year I had an interesting time where I had a lot of things said about me that were untruths, okay. And even my best friends were saying things that weren't true about me. There was gossip going around in the town that I lived in. It was in the town that I lived in. It was untruths. And I had to, it was a really difficult time. It was a painful time. I'm not gonna say that I didn't have any feelings. I'm not gonna say that there was this point of going, oh, it's perfectly okay. But what the Father showed me was how to walk in a way where I honor people, because that doesn't mean to say that I agree with them. But I come from a place where I allow the Holy Spirit to connect with my spirit, and then I walk from a place of spirit as opposed to allowing my soul to react to things. So when people are saying things about you, all you want to do is tell them where to go, or you want to have an argument with them. The old me, okay, I was an argumentative person. You can ask my husband about that. I would argue and I would get my own way, and I was stubborn, and you know, that was me, because all I wanted to do was, you need to do what I say, okay? So if anyone disagreed with me or said anything bad about me, I would be straight back in their face. So what was really interesting, though, is daily I woke up and I just said, well, Lord, I can't do this day without you. So I said, okay, Holy Spirit, just come and connect with my spirit. And I then I spoke to my soul, and I still do this, for it to come underneath and be in a safe place under my spirit. so that I'm coming and I'm operating from, and I'm speaking life, I'm speaking from a place of spirit as opposed to a place of soul. And every day I did this, I had to do it every day, and sometimes more than one day, once a day, because it was hard. It was, I'm not saying it was an easy thing, but I had to do this for quite a few months, okay, until it got to a place where actually it became my norm, okay, and it was amazing. People would come up and they would ask me how I was, and I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. I would meet the people who were saying these, and there was nothing in me. So here's a little test for you, okay. So if for example, so I had the situation where people were saying things to me. You know when you meet people, okay, and you think, you know that they've been talking about you or saying things or whatever. When you meet them, sometimes you can get this immediately like rise in your inside of you that you just, I don't want to be near them. You'd rather just sort of quickly, you know, cross the street, or you'd go the other way because you know that if you meet with them, you're thinking, I can't possibly speak to them. Do you know that feeling that you get? I can honestly say that I would see these people and there was nothing in me. I was amazed, okay? I was, because for me, this was a really obvious thing where the Lord showed me what dividing my soul and spirit, actually the outworking of it looks like, okay? So I'm speaking this from a place where I had to, it was intense, okay? It was intense. And so now I live in this place where if I feel somebody's pushed my button, or I meet somebody and I think, oh my goodness, I'm like, okay, Lord, show me, what is all of that about? Okay, I don't want to live in that place. I want to live in a place where when I speak to people, I'm speaking life into them, no matter what they have said to me or what they've said about me. Because actually, we're called to love others. We're called to love God and then love each other. And the only way we can love each other is by loving God first and allowing him to love us. And so that's in that place of Holy Spirit to Spirit. And it was an extraordinary time. And it's still kind of ongoing, if you see what I mean, when you live in the same town. And but it's okay. It's really okay. And I just want to encourage you that even when things look tough, okay, even when things look like you can't possibly forgive that person, and forgiveness, by the way, is a key, a big, big, big key, and that's a whole other teaching, but it's a big, big key. So forgiveness is key, but also just allowing the Holy Spirit to just connect with your spirit and tucking your soul in that place underneath the spirit. Can I just say that doesn't make your soul a bad, it's not a bad thing. It's just redeeming that your soul back into the state that it was when you were first born. Okay, so it's about keeping your soul safe as opposed to telling it off and saying that it's bad. Does that make sense? Okay. So it's been, I wouldn't change it. I would not change that journey. And the reason being is because now I know that it's actually a lifestyle that I lead as opposed to an idea that I had, okay? And that's the difference. And I can honestly say it has really changed my life, okay? And the way that I walk with people and the way that I see things, because I'm seeing it from the Father's perspective every single time, okay? So I just want to put that in context. So as we go through this, hopefully in the time that we have, we'll get through what we can anyway. Romans 8 verse 6 says, "The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace." And I can honestly witness to that completely. When I would react to things, I know that that was then a trigger for a sequence of events that weren't necessarily good. Now my life is more peaceful, and also I'm not sowing negativity into other people. Hopefully I'm sowing life into people and peace into people. Okay. So anyway, they appear to oppose each other. They are definite. There are definite opposites between the soul and the spirit. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. As you can see, there are an awful lot of Bible verses that really look at this whole thing between the soul and the spirit. And this one you probably know, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Okay. John 3:6. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. I just noticed that's the Holy Spirit to our spirit. Okay. Romans 8:7-8. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. It's not that they don't want to, it's just they cannot. The pull of the flesh is too strong. So along with this, obviously, our lifestyle as well. My lifestyle prior to 5 years ago wasn't particularly godly at all. And because I know the pull of the flesh is very strong, because we live, we see the desires that are in front of us and we think that they're the best. And actually, this is the other thing about it. You pull your soul into that place and safety of your spirit when you're connecting to the Holy Spirit, then all of those are not desires anymore. Because your desire is for the Father, is for Jesus, and is for Holy Spirit. And so your whole focus completely changes. So I know that we're Christians, but I know I was a Christian from the age of 9. It took me till I was about 38 to actually realise that. Okay. So it is, life is a journey, but when you learn, when you see the keys that you can use to open up new revelation, to open up a revelation of what the Holy Spirit wants to give you, then obviously things can shift and change. And then your desires are only for him and not for things of the flesh, things of this world. It's extraordinary. So if we have not actively divided our soul and our spirit, we will still be living in a place of bondage. So we need to take authority over soul and cause it to come into submission to our spirit. Okay. We need to connect our spirit with the Holy Spirit to enable him to feed our spirit and thereby our soul to come into alignment with heaven. Okay. So it's about pulling our soul and our spirit together so that we can walk in that wholeness, so that the Holy Spirit can feed into not just our spirit, but then our soul as well. And then what we do on this earth is from heaven. Okay. Our soul, once divided out from our spirit and caused to come into submission to our spirit, will become redeemed. And that's what I was saying about bringing it back to, you know, the Father's full original intention. As the Holy Spirit feeds our spirit, and our spirit feeds our soul comes into alignment with heaven. The way we feel about things changes. And I can absolutely, totally vouch for that. Okay. It really is extraordinary. So we become stable in all we do, instead of what it says in James, which is, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. So I saw that in myself quite frequently. One minute I would be agreeing with something over here, and then the next minute I'd be having a rant to somebody else about the agreement that I've just done. So it's like I'm coming into agreement and that's a good thing, but then over here I'm having a go at someone else and saying, oh, do you know what I've just had to agree with? That is not a healthy thing to do, because, you know, that's a double-minded man. I'm unstable. I'm not being constant, and I'm not being, I don't have the integrity either. And then we live in a place of love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control, and gentleness. Okay. Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So dividing soul and spirit makes it easier to live a life of holiness. Okay. So I'm going to skip through the next few because we're going to come back to these at the end. I'm going to move on to joints and marrows. As you can see, we're trying to go at a bit of a pace here. But so joints and marrow, going back to the original Bible verse, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing joints and marrow. Okay, so what's all this about? So dividing soul and spirit, kind of fairly obvious. Joints and marrow, perhaps not quite so obvious. So let's have a look at this. So this is the next step. So the dividing soul and spirit, okay, we've caused our soul to come into submission to our spirit. And so this is where the joints in two bones come together, okay? So obviously the bones, this is a bit of a biology lesson, which I didn't even know about. It's good though. Obviously the bones at the point of the joint need to be hardened. Okay, so the joints need to be hard to, first of all, take the stress and strain of movement in various directions. Okay, also, it's to facilitate movement. Without joints, we cannot move our arms and our legs and our hands and everything else. Okay, so the marrow is a soft substance that fills the bone. So it's like it's the life-giving factory, okay? The red marrow governs the blood. The yellow marrow, which is made up of primarily fat cells. Okay, so there's two different types of marrow as well. So what's it saying to us? The red marrow is about where we put our focus, okay? And the yellow is where we put our energy. Okay. So the Lord wants to take back control of our movement. Okay. Which is our joints. Okay. And then our control of our focus and our energy, which is the marrow. Okay. So have a think about what that looks like in your life. Okay, the movement, our movement, whatever that looks like, and I'm not necessarily going to put any boundary on that, and our focus and our energy. Who is in control of your focus? Where do you go to get your focus? And who is in control of your energy? Where do you go for your energy? Sometimes it could be that you get your focus from your work, okay? You get your focus from other people. And I'm not saying it is wrong to talk to other people to get advice, okay? But we can just rely on somebody to get all of our focus. Oh, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this, you should do this. And that's it. Our energy, where's our energy coming from? You know, do we think that food alone is our energy? Okay. The Lord wants to take back control of our movement and of our focus and of our energy. Okay. Who is giving you your focus? Is the Lord giving you your focus? Are you relying on him for your energy? Are you allowing him to show you your movement, whatever your movement looks like? It's a challenging question, and it's a challenging question for me as well. And I think for me, one of the challenges is day by day when I wake up, am I allowing him to be my focus so that he can focus my day? Am I allowing him to be my energy so he can give me my energy for the day? Am I allowing him to show me the movement of my day so that I can move wherever he wants me to go? Or am I dictating and saying, no, my day looks like this because I have this in the diary, and there's nothing wrong with diaries, but am I allowing him to change things if needs be? Am I really asking him what my day looks like or what my week looks like? I don't always. I really try. So I'm not sitting here saying I've got everything perfect and ticked off. But it's a challenge because he is our focus. Or for me, you know, he is my focus. But am I allowing him to be my for him to show me the focus of my day or the focus of my week, or who am I to focus on today? The people that are in front of me, the situation that's in front of me. Am I being distracted by things that he doesn't want me to be distracted by? Okay, there's a lot of questions around that. So, what is divided out in this process? So, hopefully this helps a little bit as well. So we look at the hardness and the softness of who we are. So these two things need to be divided out so that we can function. So, some people are primarily hard-hearted. Usually comes from things in their lives that people have inflicted on them, or situations. And, you know, we can respond to the word of God from that perspective. Okay, I was the hard-hearted one. Okay, that was definitely me. Others are soft-hearted, and they respond to the word always from that perspective, and potentially being a doormat. So you might be sitting there thinking, I can relate to the first one, I can relate to the second one. And there also might be times in your lives where you might have related to the first one, and then as time has gone by, you're now relating to the second one. But you probably, for me, I know I can relate to the first one. But actually, we need to be able to function with both the soft heart and the strong heart of the Father in alignment with the Word of God. Please note that is not hard-hearted, okay? It is actually a strong heart. Okay, so we have to, you know, it's always in alignment with the word of God and whatever he is saying. Okay, but to have a soft heart to see people from that perspective is important. But it's also important to have a strong heart as well and to be listening to the Father. Okay. So, I'm now going to jump through some of these and move on to the attitudes of our hearts. Hey, we're doing really well here. Gosh. Lindy's like, yes. So it's good because I feel it would be really good to spend some time, quite a bit of time with the Father to work through some of these again. So attitudes of the heart. So we're back to this verse again. So I'm just going to give you a few seconds to just read that in the context of what we've just talked about, okay? Because this is one verse. I know it's not the whole of it because obviously we've taken out the other bits, but I just want you to read it knowing what we've just chatted about, if that makes sense. I'm just going to give you a few seconds to look at that. So I just want you to notice that it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our hearts. Okay. So it's good news because it means that he judges our hearts and not the result. Okay. So this is the interesting one. So even when we get it wrong, we get it right if we have the right heart attitude. Okay. So this was a real revelation to me. Not because it meant that everything that I'd done wrong in my life was okay, obviously. But it did mean that sometimes, you know those times when you're, I don't know, you can, so I could be talking to my husband, okay, and I could be talking to Leighton and saying something which, you know, I love him and it's out of a really a love for him that I've saying it, and not it's not a judgmental thing, but I'm just saying something, and he could take it in a really bad way, okay, so the result isn't necessarily doesn't look particularly good, but I know that the Lord sees the attitude in my heart, and my attitude in my heart was never a place to hurt him, okay. And for me, that was so freeing, because I don't know about you, but when you do that, when you speak to somebody and you say something, and you really meant it with a good heart attitude, and you know that you did, and the person takes it the wrong way, and you're then reeling because you're just thinking, oh my goodness, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, I'm such a terrible person. Oh my goodness. And you have all of those things. And actually, I understand that and I get that because, hey, I've been there. But what he's saying is, I judge the attitude of your heart. And the attitude of your heart was a good attitude. It was one of love. And you came with the right heart attitude. And actually, we're to please our Father in heaven, okay? Not the person in front of us. If the person in front of us takes something that we say in the wrong way, we're not responsible for that. We are responsible for our heart attitude. But actually, if we're coming from a place of love, if we're coming from a place, there's no manipulation, there's no... Because I just want to say this as well. The one thing that I was very good at, particularly with Leighton, was I would say things where I thought... Now, I knew really, but there was part of me who used to kid myself into thinking, I'm saying this with a really good heart attitude, but actually it was control and manipulation, because I'd be saying something that I know full well was so that I could get something, okay? And that's looking at trading floors, which we're not going to look at, but I'll briefly mention. So I would say something, apparently, and I would... My soul would tell me, oh no, you need to say this because it's a good thing to say, when actually I'm getting something in return. And so I am responsible for that, okay? I'm just putting that thing over there. So it is important that you look at your attitude of your heart and make sure that what you're saying is from a place of love and it's not from a place of control and manipulation as well. Okay. However, we can get it wrong even when on the outside it looks like we got it right in our heart if our heart attitude is not right. Okay, I'm going to let you read that and digest it. So we've got the two things going on. You can say something with a good heart attitude, and it can look wrong, or you can say something that from a wrong attitude and it can look right. Okay, I know it's a bit confusing, but it's that whole thing that I can. Flattery is an obvious one. Okay, so flattery is not a good thing, as far as I'm concerned. You know, when you say something to somebody and they've asked, you've had a haircut, and they ask you, oh, what do you think of my hair? And you're looking at it and thinking, I really don't like it. But you say, oh, it looks really good. So you know that the outcome is a good outcome because they're feeling wonderful, but actually you haven't been honest, Okay, and it's not coming from the heart attitude is, yeah, I want to love that person, bless that person, but there's a conflict there. Okay, do you see? So we can say something with a good heart attitude that can be for the person or the situation can look wrong, but God judges the attitudes of our hearts. Okay. So be careful of the trading floors, as I've said. There's another kind of time we could spend on trading floors, so I'm not going to go through all of those. I've kind of mentioned one of control and manipulation and saying things for your own gain. Okay, so you say things solely to gain something from that person. Okay, so that was my big, that's the way I live my life. That was my life. I used to do that all the time. You know, I had a degree in it, I think, as well. So another way of looking at things, it's the motivation in everything that we do. Our motivation must be pure, so the attitude of our heart can be pure. Okay, I'm nipping through all of this. In fact, I don't think I need anything else. Can you see there's a lot for trading floors? I'll briefly look at this. So I think what we'll do is I'm going to come out of that one for a bit, I think. Look at that. What we're going to do is we're going to spend another, I think, some time just going to go through dividing soul and spirit and looking at the joints and marrow. Okay, so I'm going to take you through that. Okay. Can I encourage you maybe to, if the Father, if he prompts anything in your mind as we go through this, and we've looked at the attitudes of heart as well, if there are areas that you know that you have been using in this whole context and situations, then write them down. So what we're going to do, first of all, is we're going to look at dividing soul and spirit. Spirit, will you just come and connect with my spirit? I give you permission to connect with my spirit and to have control over my spirit. I speak to my soul. And I say, soul, you are under my spirit, because my spirit is connected to the living God, connected to Holy Spirit. Father, I repent for always wanting to go in my own direction. I repent for all of the times that I've made my own choices and gone where I wanted to go. And I repent for looking at my own focus, of what I wanted to focus on, what I thought was important. I'm sorry for not looking to you for where I go. Not asking you what my focus is. And Father, I repent for being hard-hearted. I'm sorry. Choose to forgive those that have hurt me. Those that have caused pain sometimes, that have caused me to become hard-hearted, I forgive them. And Lord, I'm sorry. Soft-hearted, for man-pleasing. I'm sorry that I wasn't looking to you to please you, Lord, my dad in heaven. So I pick up the sword, the word, and I divide. I divide so that I give the direction of my life and my focus to Jesus. Spirit, I ask you to come and reset in us the soft-heartedness and the strong-heartedness of the Father. Holy Spirit, come and realign our thinking in line with heaven.